Father God, we thank you for freedom in Christ Jesus. We stand here fast in it, understanding that it's your love that has set us free, and that we can live with integrity, with spirit within us, never letting life speak louder than truth, never letting the circumstances shake this unshakable kingdom within, because you have loved us. So we stand knowing that we are loved and lovable, that we are worthy because you ascribe worth. We are valuable because you find us valuable. And so, Father, in recognizing this truth, we see you for who you are, a loving Father, a good, good God, full of good grace towards your children. And so in receiving that, Father, we also ask that we might have a revelation of that greatness and spirit testify within us so that we might live this truth out amongst one another, so that we might love one another in truth, so that others might see and say there is something different about that people, so that they might know that because your love has been poured in us and we live according to love, that we have overcome the world through you, that they might see us and know that we are yours because we love you and we love one another. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Have a seat. Have a seat. Y'all good. Stick around. You don't have to underscore it. But last night, maybe for some of y'all that were here, we talked a little bit about Holy Spirit living, right? And something that's happened for us in our ministry and our experience is that the Lord will actually speak words of life through his instruments, us, right? And he wants to speak affirmation, and he wants to speak liberty. And last night, you actually, I think, saw an example of that. Last night, in the middle of the presentation, I actually put my gaze on Pastor Ashok. And as I put my gaze on him, I clearly something said, you know, the young man. And I got to be honest with you, even as I was telling y'all about spirit, right, and talking about it, I saw him and I was like, nah, I don't want to. Because I didn't know whether it was a legit thing, right? I'm really trying to always discern. And then I went back, looked at him again, and it was like, nah, go. Like, I felt that, I knew that. And this isn't a thing that is uncommon now. Life and spirit, there's this thing where the Lord will put an impression and you just go. And you don't actually know what you're going to say or how you're going to say it. You just go, right? So we went, right? And we had a moment, right? How many of y'all were here? Did y'all see it? All right. So we had a moment, right? Well, after, I don't know how many of y'all were here for, what do we call that thing at the end? After party. Thank you. It's been a long week, man. So, I mean, it's been a good one, just, you know, short on sleep. And, because Christian snores, right? So small, so big noise. So what happened is that last night, I saw Ashok, and I said, hey, man, let me talk to you, just because I wanted to double down to make sure that I didn't expose him in any way, but I just felt like the Lord had marked him. And so I checked in with him, and he affirmed that it wasn't by coincidence, that there was a marking there, right? And so I wanted to just point that out, right? That something did in fact happen, and there was a marking, and that we can actually live this way. The Lord will actually give us what he calls words of knowledge about people and about situations, and we can actually move in that spirit, right? And if you don't believe me, hear the rest of the story.
Yesterday was intense. If someone calls you out in the middle of church, man, boy, it will mess you up. So I'll pick up where you kind of left off. I went home, and Cassie and I had a great conversation, and like great women, she gave me the perfect advice when I needed to hear it, and she said, I think you need to spend some time with God tonight in your secret place, and come to bed whenever you and him are done talking. And so she went to bed, and I sat on the couch, and I just started talking to God like how we've always talked, you know, and I reminisced with him, and I talked with him, and I said, God, like, I all of a sudden, I just felt like my legs just got blown underneath me, you know, And I was like, I don't even know who I am anymore, you know? And so I started asking him, like, can you please show me who I am again? And can you please lead me somewhere in Scripture? And for some reason, he told me to go into the story of Moses, where Moses runs away from Egypt, and he goes to the wilderness, and he has this amazing encounter with God, you know, and God speaks to him through the burning bush. And I'm like reading this, why is God like sending me here? You know, it doesn't really make sense. I started reading it, and God introduces himself, doesn't he, to Moses. And then he tells Moses that you will lead my people out of Egypt. And then Moses asks this question. He says, who am I, comma, that I should lead this people out of Pharaoh's land? Who am I? And I was like, wow, that's funny, because that's exactly the question I was asking. You know, and like, he asked that. And guess what? God does not answer the question. He didn't. He said, I will be with you. That's how he answers that. I will be with you. And he goes on later, and Moses is like, what am I supposed to say to these people? And God says to Moses, say, I am who I am. And so I read this, I'm like, God, I don't understand. Like, how is this meant to answer my question, you know? And I wasn't upset, I wasn't angry, but I felt very tired, and I fell asleep, kind of being okay with not knowing the answer, if that makes sense. Maybe you guys are there too. So this morning, wake up, and all of us, you know, pastoral staff, and Jonathan, Christian, we have breakfast together. We're just fellowshipping together. It was awesome, you know, and I'm just like listening to all the conversations, just trying to pull out something to answer my question, honestly. That's why I was just sitting quiet or cooking, you know. And then my best friend, Jordan, he decides to call me because I just sent him a text like, hey, can you pray for me? I really need your help right now. And he's like, hey, I got like 10, 15 minutes. Let's talk. So I went upstairs and I told him what happened, everything that happened. I said, I read the story. And then he said, like, it's funny like how God knows exactly where you are, when you are, because that's how he ordained you to be. Like, he put you at the right spot at the right time, and he knows exactly where you are. Even though I felt pretty lost, like a boat, a little sailboat in the sea, you know? But he's like, sure, God knows exactly where you are and who you are, you know? So I'm like listening to that, and then later, Christian, this guy right here, him and I, we go downtown. He's taking video shots of Portland, and it's time to eat. We're getting hungry, so we go to a food cart, because naturally that's what you do in Portland, right? And we're having great conversation. I'm like telling, like, man, how is this all supposed to work out? Like, I don't understand how all this, like, Jesus living in me identity is practical and all this stuff. You know, like, that's what I was asking you, right? And then we're sitting in the car, and then finally I just had to say some words that affirmed who God was in my life. Because he was chasing after me. He's the one who found me, right? I had to say these things out loud, right? And I was saying, like, God was the one who found me, who ran after me. He knew who I was. And when I was saying that, I was like, started sensing freedom, you know? It's like I needed to say those things out loud and believe it, right? Yeah. So I started crying, right? My hands over my face, I started crying. And then all of a sudden, these words started going through my head, like, I am in you. I am in you. I am in you. Those words that he said to Moses. So I'm like thinking all these things. And I finally have the courage to get my face out of my hands. And I look at Christian. He says, I am. He said that. I didn't say that. He said that. And I looked at him like my mouth just dropped. And I started pointing at my head like this. And it was clear to me because, like, my whole life I tried to be the God in my life, right? I tried to be, my identity was selfishness, you know? I tried to be God in my life. And then God had to say, there's no identity in that. I am your identity.
Wow.
So just by way of encouragement, like, the thing is real, right? I mean, if y'all didn't get that, like, just make that point clear. This guy's sitting there, and he's thinking in his head, I am, I am, I am, I am. And in the privacy of his head, he's thinking all of this. And then Christian turns to him and audibly says, I am, right? And Ashok is just like, you're in my brain. Right? He's like, all right, it's crazy. So I walk in to service about an hour and a half ago. It's 7:30, so I walked in about 6 this evening, and I walk up, and Christian's on the stage. Christian comes, bro, you won't believe what happened. Like, what happened? He's like, yo, Holy Spirit just fell on Ashok. And he's super excited. And like, I'm excited, and we're talking, and he tells me all of that. And then I tell him, I'm like, let me not share it. God marked him. Y'all saw it. It's real. And that's what we get to stand in. Yeah? We get to live in this reality. We're gonna practice this reality in just a bit. But let's sing a song together.
Lord God, this night we come before you and we ask that. We ask indeed that you would come and fill this place, you would fill our hearts, you would fill our lives. We offer our hearts to you. You've given everything for us. You've given everything for us. And right now, Lord, we just say yes to you. We say yes to you, to your call, and that Jesus would have freedom through the Spirit to be within us, to work within us in a way that would help us to have eyes to see the greatest gift ever given. And we say yes to you this night. We say yes to you, and we thank you, and we praise you. We give ourselves to you. Show us the way that we might walk in it is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Go ahead, have a seat. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. So I'm just going to chase something down. Just hear it in my heart. Y'all having a good time? Y'all all right? Yeah? I mean, I've had such a great time with y'all. I know me, Christian, Justin. We've had such a great time with y'all. Thank you so much for welcoming us here, welcoming LRT here at PVC. Something that we actually talk a lot about with, we'll do high schools as well from time to time, and something that we talk to with high schoolers, especially even collegiates, thanks, brother, especially collegiates, is this principle of identity found is identity sustained. Whatever you find your identity in is what sustains your identity. So you're only as good as it's going. And so we established that. And I established that because I personally know that struggle really, really deep. I know the struggle of trying to look for identity and trying to sustain it. When I was 4 or 5 years old, my father decided that he didn't want anything to do with the family anymore. And he slowly made his way out. So by the time I was about 6, my parents had split. And my dad had left the country, left my mother and me and my sister in the United States. Now, I'm originally from Dominican Republic, and my mother came over when we were but children with my father in hopes of course, the American dream. Well, it didn't quite work out that way because my dad ended up taking off, and here my mother is, emigrated here, and 2 kids, doesn't know the language that well. She has a degree in physical therapy that doesn't actually translate because she got in Dominican Republic, so you know the standards are a little differently. So my mother comes over here, and lo and behold, what happens to the kids? My dad's not around. The community that I'm a part of is fractured, I'm separated from it. I have a big family. My father actually has 7 brothers, and each one of those brothers had at least 4 or 5 kids, right? So first cousins, I have a plenty, right? I have a lot. I was in Dominican Republic a few years ago, and on my father's side, we decided to have a quick family get-together because me and my sister were in town. And my cousins called the other cousins and were like, hey, the American cousins are in town. And at the drop of a hat, within a couple hours, we had 60 people in a home that are family, right? And then they were apologizing. They're like, oh, sorry, we couldn't get everybody together, right? Like, that's the size of my family, Right? And so it's crazy because as a grown man, I'm walking into a room where I'm looking at people, a whole bunch of them that look like me, and I don't know them. Like, we're looking at each other, and it's like, you know, like the mirror thing. You know, they're like, I see Peter, I see you. Right? Any Hook fans? No? Peter, I see you. Thank you, right? All right. So why is it always you? They gonna start, it's March, it's officially March. Because they gonna start thinking we get together before the meeting. All right, they gonna be like, they have a telepathic connection. All right, the chocolate connection. They got it right now? They got it. So, yeah, so I'm with this group of people, and it's crazy to be in a room and to some degree not be known. Right? It's crazy to be in a room by a bunch of people you should be known by and not be known. So because I had this upbringing, I grew up in the U.S., and I'm looking for identity, you know? And I grew up in the late 80s. You know, I'm a 90s kid, 80s baby. Well, actually, 80s kid, too, because I was born really early in the 80s, right? And I grew up around the time where hip-hop was, like, booming. Like, I remember living in Queens when Run DMC was running Queens, New York City. I don't know if y'all, some of y'all old enough to remember Run DMC. But late 80s, Run DMC, Def Jam, LL Cool J, when LL Cool J was like 16 years old. And I was like 4 or 5 years old, six. And I remember going down the subway, and on the subway you would see B-boys, right, on linoleum. And B-boys are breakdancers, right? They're breakdancers, actually. My homeboy over here used to do B-boy, right? So he knows. But I remember I was so attracted to this stuff, right? I was so attracted to this stuff. And because I didn't have, like, an identifying figure in my life, like, I gravitated towards this. And as I get older and I'm looking on TV, I'm seeing images of what it means to be masculine, right? And what it means to be masculine in the culture that then I take for myself is that you have to be hyper aggressive. You have to be hyper sexual, right? And you have to be hyper independent, right? So I go pursuing identity along these marks. And every single stop on which I try to find my identity on these marks, it always failed. Always failed. I could think of one time, it's comical, but it really, sorry about that, man. It's comical, but it really got me. I'm 16 years old. And I don't know if I shared this story. I don't think I have this week. I don't know if I shared it back in the summer, but I'll share it now. I'm 16 years old, and there's this girl that I'm into, right? And she's a 16, 17-year-old, too. No, 16 years old, right? How old are sophomores? 16, and it's that bad now, right? 16, she's a sophomore. I'm around a sophomore. Or she's, man, something like that. Anyway, all I know is that I saw her, and I was like, hey, right? And then she saw me, and she was like, hey. And then I saw her seeing me, and I was like, yo, this is what's up, right? And this was the days where, like, if I wanted to get to know her, you know what I had to do? I couldn't Facebook stalk her or Instagram her, or, like, I couldn't do none of that. Like, back in those days, you actually carried a piece of paper and a pen in your pocket because you had to go and get a phone number, right? So I had to go up to her, talk to her, and be like, yo, can I get your phone number? Right, and then she would tell me the times I could and couldn't call, because back then phones were on a wall, not in our pocket. Right, and back when I was this young, phones didn't have buttons. Right, they had this circle thing that you put your finger in, and you had to, right, click, 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 click. Now there was button phones at that time, but we were broke, so we had the old rotary. And so I had got this girl's number because she saw me, I saw her, and the thing is, when I saw her, I was like, man, she is fly. But me, I was about half the size I am now when I was 16. I was like 5'2", but my head was just as big, and so were my feet, all right? So I looked like a big old Mr. Potato Head. It was embarrassing, right? I promise you, I have pictures. There was a pair of Nikes. They were the Scottie Pippins back in the Air Max, Scottie Pippins, and they had a big air on the side. I think they've gotten popular again. And the air on my sneakers looked like they were, like, hyper-capitalized because my feet were so long, right? It was like, air. And I remember the fact that she was digging me, all of a sudden, what do you think it did for my sense of being an identity? I was like, yes, Lord, right? You know, I grew up, daddy wasn't around. I went to a private school, right? I was blessed enough to go to private school because mama worked really, really hard to send me and my sister to private school. And I grew up in an Adventist community, and Adventist communities believe in education. And I was blessed to have churches like this that gave money towards education. So a guy like me, who on a regular sort of program wouldn't be able to afford going to school, it was people like y'all that actually put me through school, right? So thank you, right? And I was blessed to attend a private school and get a great education because the faithful brethren were able to raise me up, right? But one of the consequences of being there is that I was around some folk that had, you know, their parents did well, and they worked hard, and they earned great living. They did awesome things. But that then meant that their children had certain things that, in comparison to me, I did not have. And, you know, sometimes it's rough when you're 16, 17, and your boots are talking to you, right? And your friends are like, yo, why are your boots like, what's going on with that? And so my sense of who I am is not really the best in my high school years. So when this young lady takes notice of me, I'm just like on cloud nine. You know what I'm saying? Feeling really good. Well, it just so happens that her and I started a telephone conversation. And back in those days, you would call on the phone and you'd probably get a parent, right? And you would have to say, good evening, Mr. and Mrs., whatever the last name was. And then, can I please speak to, right? And you had to make sure you called it a decent hour. You couldn't call it, no, like 8:45? Back when I was a kid, 8:45? That's what you call 8:45. And you never call past 9 p.m., right? Like, that's the cutoff, right? That's how I grew up, right? So I would call like at 7, right? I'm like, because it has to be after homework time and after supper. And it's a very narrow window, man. Y'all have it so good now, like, hey, girl, 2 in the morning. Like, nah, man, that's I'm 7 o'clock. I'm like, and then you have to ask permission to use the phone. Like, Mom, can I use the phone? Who are you going to call? I'm going to call Mr. and Mrs. All right, so, and sometimes my mama would be like, let me call, right? It was that bad. Anyway, I get on the phone, right? And there were times when her and I would be on the phone for 2, 3, 4 or 5 hours. I remember one time I got off the phone at 2 in the morning. 2 in the morning. What you doing at 16 years old talking to 2 in the morning? You know what you're talking about? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But you know how you feel the whole time you're talking about nothing? Oh, you feel like somebody. And you do that thing where like, girl, I got to go to bed because my mama find me with this thing, she will beat me with this thing, right? Because telephones are big enough to cause, they would cause neurological, you know, it was bad. So it would be like, hey girl, you know, I gotta hang up. On 3, hang up, right? Like you hang up. Now you hang up. On 3, hang up. You know, 1, ready? 2, here we go. 3. Hello, hello, hey girl, hey, hey. Right? So this whole while, all of these hours, my identity's going like this. Do, 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 do. Why? Because one of the prettiest girls in school is paying attention to the broke kid that comes from the divorced home. Because even back then, late 90s, at a Christian school, there wasn't a lot of divorce, right? It is what it is. It isn't an indictment on anybody. It just is what it is, right? I remember being in sixth grade, and they actually asked in a classroom of 30 children, like, whose parents don't live together, and I was the only one, right? Like, and that's just me. That's my story. It is what it is. So late 90s, that's what it is for me. So my identity is being shaped around these things, and that this girl is actually paying attention to me. All of a sudden, my identity is ascending. It came to the day where I had to plan to ask her out. I put a gift set together, y'all. I got her locker combination so I could put the gifts in her locker. And, man, I went out. I got a new outfit, homie. A new outfit. And I was so excited about it, I slept in it the night before. Huh? That's how excited I was about it. I didn't quite understand the concept of wrinkling, right? I remember it was like 8 o'clock at night. I was like, I can't wait to put this on. Silly. So the next morning, right? The next morning, I go to school, and I walk in, and I'm feeling something fresh. If there was a soundtrack to that moment in my life, it would have been, you can't tell by the way I move my world, I'm a lady, man. Don't tell me, talk. Hey! I was feeling really good because we had established this thing and she was going to be my girl and it was what it was. Come find out, as I see her, right? It's like, and she was about as far as Randy is to me, Pastor Randy in the back. She's about that far. And I walk in, I see her and I'm like, there she is. right? And I'm just getting my courage up. That's not true. It was more like, there she is. Right? But in my mind, it was like, there she is. And as I see her, and I'm like, all right. I was like, kss, you know? I'm about to make my move. My homeboy comes and grabs me, and he's like, Jonathan, I'm like, what do you want? Jonathan, he talked to you. I looked at him straight in his face. I was like, bro, I got something to do. Don't you see? I got plans. I said, no, Jonathan, come. And I looked at him straight in his face. I was like, get thee behind me, Satan. I gotta go. Yo, my man grabs me one more time, and he says, Jonathan, I got to tell you about homegirl. So what about homegirl? It's like, she's dating. And the next words that came out of his mouth sounded exactly like the name of my best friend. She's dating such and such. I'm like, what? All right, for the next kind of 10 seconds were really blurry for me, right? And it's a funny story, right? But I'll tell you what, at 16 years old, having wrapped up my heart in this little situation, I was crushed. Crushed. So crushed, this is where it gets real. That's right, I was a freshman. I remember I was a sophomore. She was a freshman. I was so crushed that I descended. I had a 3.5 average GPA my first semester. I remember my sophomore, right? By second semester, I was down like 2.2. Because mama's not home, because mama's working really hard to keep us in private school. My friends, they got a little more money than I do, and sometimes it's kind of funny relating to one another. And then this thing happened. I'm down in the pits. I'm 16 years old, y'all, but even at 16, I had a keen awareness that my sense of self was absolutely crushed in that moment. Why? Because I had surrendered my heart to a situation that was determining the truth of who I was. And because I had relinquished my heart to that, I was only as good as it was going. And in relinquishing my heart to that, I'll keep it real with y'all. It took 3 years for me to actually get my head back. At 16 years old, I descended so terribly my sophomore year, I actually switched schools because I became such a problem child at home. And now I know as a grown man that it was that rejection that ran so deep. I went from Massachusetts to Arkansas. I graduated from Ozark Adventist Academy in Northwest Arkansas. Listen, I went from outside of Boston. Do you know what it looks like in Boston? It's like a crayon box. I went to Northwest Arkansas. You know what it looks like in Arkansas? Like a chalk box. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Northwest Arkansas for someone like me is a bit of a challenge. And I was so committed to not being in that place where I felt my identity crushed that I was willing to be there for 2 years. And it cost me to actually come back home and see this young lady over and over. And it hurt me to see her with my best friend. I don't know, it's, you know, high school puppy love. But it's a valuable, valuable lesson we need to learn. And it's one I learned later on from this experience. Identity found is identity sustained. Identity found is identity sustained. What are you giving your identity over to? Because whatever you give your identity over to is that which is going to sustain you. You're only going to be as good as it's going. So whether it's the 16-year-old puppy love, or it's the job, or it's the wife, or it's this, or that, the spouse, the whatever it is, you know what it is. You're only as good as that thing is going, and you're one move away from being crushed. I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking with you, you know, like I'm not speaking at you, like I'm just sharing this. It's on my heart. And what I found, and this is why we preach LRT, what we do, good gospel, is that I found through a whole bunch of more hardships that my identity is built on one thing and one thing alone, who he says I am. That's it. I live from that place now. This happened to me when I was 16. I didn't got gospel till I was 32, 33, like the depth and liberty of gospel. I didn't get it till about 32, 33. In the interim, I gave my heart to a whole host of other things. And those things are the things that aren't shared in a family-friendly environment. That's why I picked a high school story. But y'all know what I'm talking about. And if anything we want to tell you in Love Reality Tour in this week is your identity is grounded in He who has spoken life over you and about you since before the foundation of the world. And who and what you are is determined by His word, not by the circumstances around life. What are you giving yourself over to now? The one thing that we hit hard this week is don't give yourself over to the identity that you're a sinner. Give yourself over to His identity that calls you son and daughter. Now, you may have committed sin. Yeah, you may have participated in. You might have been a sinner in your former life. But if you're in Christ, and I love Pastor George. He loves these two words. I love them with him. In Christ, you are nothing less than what He says you are. In Christ, you are a conqueror. In Christ, you have freedom from sin now. In Christ, you are blessed in the beloved now. In Christ, you have destiny, not for the future, but one that's working itself out now. In Christ, you have the presence of Holy Spirit to live with a confidence that speaks power, not because of what you are, but because of what He is in you. So that when you discern the Spirit, because you know that you're identified with Him and who you are, you can look at a man. You can look at a man and discern Spirit to speak life. Because this thing here is given over to the identity that He's spoken about me. Are we together?
I want to draw your attention to Galatians 4. And then we're going to get into Secret Place.
Did anybody tell you that we were going to get out a little bit after 8 today? Like, it's Friday night. We go until about 8:30. Is that all right? You got your Bibles? We're going into Galatians. We're going to Galatians 4. And I just want to show you something before Christmas starts. This is why this is on the board. I need y'all to see this because I appreciate everybody that's here tonight, but there has been a story that's been told all week. So if this is your first time, I hope that it makes sense. Oh, this is going to block in y'all, isn't it? You good? Y'all can see it? Y'all can see it? Y'all good? So y'all see the diagram up here? This is the reality of the two atoms. The one above is atom number two. The one below is atom number one. The book of Romans actually calls these two realities a different name. We usually write them. We didn't put it up. The one up top is the law of the spirit of life. Okay? You with me? The one below is the law of sin and death. This whole reality below is the law. Is the reality of Adam 1, which is the law of sin and death. This reality up here is the reality of Adam number 2, which is the law of the spirit of life. And you can't be both of them. You can only be one. And what happens is that when we identify ourselves as slaves, this is what we talked about this week, whenever we do something that we feel violates law, right, we stand condemned as sinners. That's why we have a relationship to the law when we're in Adam 1. When we're in Adam 1, we have a relationship to the law because the law condemns us as sinners. And as sinners, we know that we're slaves to sin. We together? And what ends up happening is that when we're a slave to sin, where is it that a slave runs to go get forgiveness? They have to do the thing with the sanctuary, the lamb, the whole deal, right? But if you commit sins that the sanctuary doesn't cover, we talked about this earlier this week, there are sins in the Bible that it says the sanctuary doesn't cover, like murder, adultery. Sanctuary don't cover those, right? Sabbath breaking. Did you know Sabbath breaking was a sanctuary doesn't cover that. You break the Sabbath. Murder. Adultery. There is no lamb. This is why David, when he committed what he did with Bathsheba, it was both adultery and murder. And what is it that the prophet Nathan came and told him? The Lord has taken away your sin. Why? Because there was no lamb that he could offer. You with me? And so what happens is if you commit that sort of sin that there's no lamb, you know what you end up doing? You end up dying the death that is meted out via the law. That's it. And for us, unless you're Jewish, we wouldn't even be able to participate in this because we don't have access to the sanctuary because we're not Jewish. We together? This comes from Sinai.
This is the reality. But this tells the story of how we are liberated. That's why this was given to us, the sanctuary. You see this burning altar here? This burning altar signifies the cross. I don't have time to do the Bible study, but this is where the lambs are sacrificed, right? And so the lamb that takes away the sin of the world is actually sacrificed on this altar. And then you know what happens to the remaining portions of the lamb? There's a laver. This is the order. Altar and then a laver. So after the death, there was a baptism. We together? Jesus called his death a baptism. It's like, there's a baptism I must suffer. Jesus collapsed these two, right? But then Jesus himself says in John, the book of John, he says, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of heaven, right? And then he takes up the high priestly ministry. He becomes, when he resurrects, he becomes our intercession. He offers prayers through his spirit on behalf of us. You with me? And they get to go into the very presence of God. This is just a quick little move. This is the story of gospel being told to the Israelites, right? So the Israelites would be condemned under the law, and what would save them? The story of gospel. Condemned under the law, what would save them? The story of... And it was the story about how the Lamb would come to resurrect, to liberate them. This is why John says in John 1, verse 29, is it, Justin? The 29, right? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away. And then he says in John 14, right? I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you might also be. So he starts by saying he's the Lamb, so you might be. Well, that's what happens. You guys there in Galatians 4? This is how we get transferred. We used to be slaves, right? Read together. I mean that the heir, as long he is a child, is no different from a slave. Paul is making this argument about the Jewish people and their relationship to the law and whether or not they should be circumcised. Watch what he says here. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave. Look what he says about the slave. Though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and a manager until the date set by his father. So if Christian is my son and I'm his dad and he's going to inherit my estate, I put somebody in charge of him to teach him all of my ways until he's old enough to actually inherit that which is mine. And maybe the person that rears him is an old wise man that knows all of my rules. Maybe a man with a beautiful beard. And he, go ahead, stand up for the people. Let them see. Let them see your Moses beard. Come on, man, just do it. You know, there it is. All right. So, but I want you to see this. This is what it is, you know? It's like Moses. I'm dead serious. Like, he represents the law. This is the idea. He's the law. And he tutors the young child until the child comes of age. We together? And so you're under a guardian, but when you're under a guardian, you're being treated the exact same way a slave is treated, not a son. So this is the argument that Paul's making. In the same way, you were children and were a slave to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, under the law. So Jesus comes like Adam 1, under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. So you and I, who were once slaves to sin, condemned by the law, Jesus came in the form of a baby, in the form of a man, under the law, in order to redeem us, so that he could transfer us somewhere. From here to here. Watch this, keep reading. To redeem those who were under the law, so that they might receive what? Adoption as sons and daughters. Isn't that good news? And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the spirit of his son into your hearts. So now you have spirit. And because you have spirit, you are now sons and daughters if you're in Christ. And we can cry, Abba, Father. Why? Because we now have direct access. There is no veil. So you are, look at the verse 7, y'all. This is so clear in scripture. You are no longer a, but a son. than an heir through God. That's good news. Let me show you an example. Verse 21 back there. Watch this. Then we're going to explain secret place. We're going to get out of here by 8:30. Tell me. And this is where I'm going to speak to y'all, you know, because y'all know the faith tradition we come from. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, don't you listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave woman was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born according to the promise. Check out what's going on here. This is where I need you to stay with me. It's a little Bible, but stay with me. So the son that was born according to the flesh, in what reality is he born? Up top or below? Right? But the son of promise is born in what reality? Up top or below? Up top. So the son of promise, Isaac, corresponds here. Ishmael corresponds here. We together? 24. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. It's an allegory. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. So Mount Sinai, because it's under the law, all of its children are what? So if your righteousness comes from Mount Sinai, and you know what he's referring to at Mount Sinai, right? Right? Starts with 10, it finishes with commandments. So if your righteousness comes from here, you're this. I promise you, I read it in the book. I'm not making it up. Look what he says. Bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Oh my gosh, this is so deep right here. She corresponds to present day Jerusalem. Israel believes themselves to be in the lineage of Isaac. They believe they're sons of promise, right? But Paul is calling them what? He's saying you think you're the line of Isaac, but you're actually a bunch of Ishmaelites. Believing themselves to be the chosen of God, but not having received the freedom in Christ, they called themselves a select peculiar people. And he said, yeah, y'all peculiar, all right, because you think you're something that you're not. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. She's our mother. And look at this prophecy. Rejoice, O barren who does not bear. Oh, man. If this one is Hagar and this one is Sarah, which one is the one that did not bear? So the children of the kingdom, how many children were there in the kingdom? None. There were none. There was a promise that there would be some, but there were none. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. So he's saying to Sarah, hey, rejoice even though you're not in labor. And Sarah has to be saying, what do you mean? Why should I rejoice? For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Why? Next verse. Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, you're children of the promise. So through spirit, God has made heaven, who didn't have us in it, abound with children through Jesus Christ, so that all of us have a heavenly mother that is Jerusalem if we receive that we are the children of promise through Jesus Christ. Because when we identify as this, we're only as good as this relationship is going. So when you identify as Adam 1, and when you fall short, you're only as good as your behavior in relationship to law. But when you receive the truth that your identity is determined through the promise, when you receive the truth that your identity is determined through the promise, what you are is secure in heaven, because he who promised is faithful, and death has no dominion over him. So you have standing and surety, so that your identity can never be shaken, because who and what you are is determined by the promise he has fulfilled, because he spoke it. And you're always going to be as good as he's going. That's what and who you are. Children of the promise now in Christ. Verse 29. But just at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit. So also it is now. But what does the scripture say? You know that there's a persecution that happens when you start talking Holy Spirit. There's a persecution that happens once you start talking this freedom. My man right here experienced it. This dude got saved a few months ago. He started talking Holy Spirit, and people were like, yo, you crazy. I've experienced some of it. Not to the same degree, because, you know, I live a different life. But it happens. Don't let it happen here. Look at verse 30. I'll finish here. 30 and 31. What does scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. So how do you cast out that former identity? How do you cast out the slavery that we're free from, that we've been talking about all week? We're going to take the next 20 minutes and do that together. And what we call this is what we call the secret place. If you don't mind, dim the lights in here, man. Shut these off so... You can keep these on. Keep on me. Keep on stage. Keep them two in the back on me. Keep the two in the back on me. The rest of them, there you go. So the secret place is the place where you put this identity on. And the secret place is, according to Matthew 6:6, the place where your Father is and he will meet you. The secret place is where your Father is and he will meet you. 1 Thessalonians teaches us, 5:16, 17, and 18, that we ought to rejoice always abound in thanksgiving, and be steadfast in prayer. So we rejoice always, we abound in thanksgiving, and we're steadfast in prayer. It's really simple. But it took me a while, because it was so simple, right? So that in the secret place, like in the morning, like to put on this whole identity and live it out, first thing I do is I actually say thank you to God. We thank him. We posture our heart in gratitude. Like, that's a real literal practice. You have to posture your heart in gratitude, right? So that in all things you're thankful. Like, look at this little thing. Look how beautiful he is. Like, I'm so thankful I met him this week. He's brought me such joy. Like, every time I see him, today he was in the house and he comes up and gives me like 3-4 hugs, right? And because I posture my heart in gratitude, like, I literally posture my heart in gratitude so much. Like, it's actually changed my life. So when little guy's over here, I'm just so happy. Like, I'm just so thankful that I can have a little interaction with him. Like, I genuinely mean this. Like, I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? Like the cuteness award shouldn't go on. Like, grand champ. And so, like, I mean that we posture our hearts in thankfulness so that what happens in our life, we receive it in thankfulness. Right? Before gospel, a little baby like that's running around, and I'm like, man, where's the mother? I'll be honest, right? After gospel, I see a little baby, I'm like, man, come on here. Why? Because my heart's been softened in thankfulness. That looks like, it's like a really silly example, but I promise you it's life-changing. Because the way I do this is the way I do something else. So the way I do this, when something else comes in my life, it's thankfulness. So when I broke up with a girl I thought I was going to marry. Hurt. But I'm thankful because God knows better for me. Like, it doesn't mean it hasn't sucked, but God knows better. So as I posture myself in thankfulness over and over again, you know what happens when life squeezes me? When life squeezes me, you know what comes out? Thankfulness. Why? Because you can't believe the gospel in the moment of tribulation. You got to put on gospel on each and every day before. Nah, let them run free, girl. Real talk. Are you hearing me? So we posture in thankfulness. Second thing, we rejoice always. And rejoicing is not a feeling. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is the outflow of a heart postured in thankfulness. It's the heart that can endure in difficulty because it's being strengthened by the power of God, because it's being positioned in thankfulness. Because when you position your heart in thankfulness, you actually see God for who he is. So I look at the cross and I thank him for dying for me. And when I speak that and talk about, Father, I'm so thankful that you would die for me, the reality of him dying for me is established in me, and kingdom begins to bear fruit. So that when I enter into an experience, I know top of mind and tip of tongue that my Father died for me. And there's nothing greater than that. And my identity is rooted with him. So when her and I broke up, it hurt, but I know that I'm safe and secure. Man, I didn't know, Spirit, how you did this. I didn't have Spirit at 16 years old. It took me 3 years to get over it. I got Spirit at 36. So when my heart was broken, when my heart was hurt, it was hurt, but it wasn't broken. Why? Because it's postured in health. So we start with thankfulness. And then in thankfulness, we express joy. How do we express joy? We express joy in light of all the things that are going on in this life. And just like right now, Father, I thank you so much that the challenges that my family's going through, there's some challenges right now. The challenges that my family's going through, I'm so thankful that there's an opportunity for me to serve according to the truth of who you say I am. And that I can express your faithfulness in my life. I speak this way. My sister, a couple of years ago, found herself without a car. Now, I'm a traveling minister. I don't make that much money, right? But my sister needed a car. It was the joy of my heart to go to my bank account, empty it, pay cash for a car, and drive it to her house. Here you go, girl. Right? Now, of course, that's my sister. Well, my bank account went to real quick. But do you think it was a struggle to do that? No. Why? Because that's my sister who I love. And being postured in abundance, I know that just because something says zero doesn't mean I ain't got nothing. I got him. So as I posture in thankfulness and I practice joy, what looks like scarcity is actually the abundance. You with me? And then what happens after that? As we practice joy, I speak words over my life. Like, I literally look at the text and I speak the words over my life. Like, we're going to read Ephesians 1 together. Well, you're going to read it in a few minutes. But if you could put it up there real quick, and we'll get back. I don't know if you can get to it. There it is. Thank you, brother. I read this. Like, when I first got gospel, I read this over and over so that my identity was rooted in this. And watch how I actually approach this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. And I would stop there, and I would meditate and leave it. And I would speak these words over my life. Father, I thank you that I have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I have the blessing of putting on the humility that is in your character. I have meekness and mildness. I have the mind of Christ. I have Holy Spirit. I have the ability to be a good husband, to be a good steward of my finances, Father, to be a blessing in my community, Father, to be a faithful proclaimer of the gospel, because you've given me every blessing in Christ Jesus. And Father, some of these things, I don't see them right now, but you say I have every blessing, so I receive it and I believe it. I thank you, Father, that you have somebody in my future that is going to complement this ministry for your honor and glory. I thank you, Father, right now that I have the blessing of doing this in front of this audience so that they might know what it looks like to have intimacy with you, so that they might know what it is to see you for who you are. Father, you gave me all of this in Christ Jesus when you were willing to lay down your life through your son. Your son laid down your life and represented your heart to me, that you would go to great lengths in order to tell me that I was valuable. And Father, I just received that because I have every blessing. And receiving that, Father, I thank you that I now have the privilege to love others the way you loved me. And Father, I have the privilege to never let sin against me produce sin within me, in the same way that when we sinned against you, all you did was love us even more. So Father, I thank you for that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I put that on every day. And I'll keep moving on. In Christ, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I'll stop even there. Father, I thank you so much that I'm in a heavenly place. I thank you, Father, that I'm a child of Zion, that I'm a child who has spirit, Father, and that I'm a child who has direct access. Why? Because I'm in heavenly places, Father. And I thank you that you seated me there in Jesus, and that I put my mind there because that's what you say I am. So I receive this dove knowing that it's mine. I know I'm a citizen of the kingdom, Father, because you said so. Father, I thank you for spirit that is mine in heavenly places and that I'm a son in your eyes. In Jesus' name. That's how I go. And as I speak that, I thank him for it. I establish kingdom and I live in joy. And whatever comes my way, I bring it captive to become obedient to this truth. And I do this every day in the secret place. Do you know what I didn't tell you earlier? Now, I know our Lord didn't want me to tell you this. You know what when I said I was going to say something, I didn't say it? This afternoon when I was in the secret place, I actually thought of Ashok again. Like this afternoon while I was in there, I thought of Ashok. Came to my mind, pressed on my mind. And I was double checking. I didn't know if it was alive, it was true, because, you know, I was like, I don't want to. So when I run in here, and this guy tells me that they had this moment together, and then Ashok confirms it, I know that he's with me in the secret place. And he's revealing things. Like he put it on my mind. He put him on my mind. And it was just like a beautiful thing. For no other reason than to say, I got this. You with me? Here's what we're going to do. We're done in about 10 to 15 minutes. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to practice secret place together for about 10, 12 minutes. Is that all right? What's going to happen is that we're going to sing a song to prepare ourselves. We're going to sing a song of thankfulness. We're going to stay seated. We're going to sing the song of thankfulness. After we sing the song of thankfulness, I'm going to read a passage out of Scripture to posture your heart. And after we read that passage out of Scripture, this text will be on the screen. Ephesians 1 will be on the screen. Now, you can either pray it for yourself as you look up there, or pray it for yourself in your own mind, whatever it is. But you're going to go to that secret place. I invite you to go to that secret place in your mind with the Lord right where we're sitting and ask him what he wants to say to you through these things. Thank him for something. Thank him. And we're actually going to sit here and let that sit for a few minutes. Then we're going to come back out in more thankfulness. Then we're going to wrap up. But we live this way every single day. I put this thing on so I know what it is to discern the voice so that I can live in agreement with what he says. Now let's sing. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages we might show the immeasurable. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, you're not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, my beloved PVC, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. Now, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery. You didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You've received the Spirit of adoption that calls you daughters and sons, by whom we all cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are, in fact, children of God. And if children, then heirs. And if heirs of God, then fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we also suffer with him, that we might also be glorified. So I'm convinced that in all of these things, we are more than conquerors to him who loved us. For I am persuaded, I'm convicted, and I 100% believe that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else. What you used to think about yourself, the past that you used to live, bad theology that tells you you're nothing but a slave or a sinner, none of that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So if we could put Ephesians 1 up there, and I invite you to enter into your secret place and meet the Lord. Is there anybody that would be willing to share?
So I started this week with a little boy that wanted to bring his mother to church. And they're not here tonight. And I know the devil's working. And I need all of you to pray for her. A boy came into my life about 8 years ago. And he changed it. I didn't know it. I didn't know that that's what God's plan was for me. He tore me down. I had no work. I had no anything. And then he put a little boy in my life and a little girl. And I thought that's what it was about. And he put me in front of Kayla, who was damaged to no end. And she chose, when she got him back, to keep us as part of his life. And I never thought I'd see her in this church, but she was here this week. And it's not changed her as much as it's changed me. I don't know where. I'm 52 years old. And it's changed. I've thought about this a lot today as I worked. Thought about the story of where I've come and where Kayla's come and where Ryan's come. And a month ago, Ryan was baptized up here. And the other night, as Kayla sat there and bawled, we knew God was working on her. But the battle has just begun, and this church has got to love her in here, and it can't be my wife and I. And I need your help. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. So it's just a beautiful way how we can encourage one another. So let's just pray in agreement right now, then we'll continue. Father God, we thank you for the work that's being done in Kayla and Ryan's life. And we thank you that Spirit is at work there. And we thank you that you have victory over the enemy. So right now we proclaim it in authority and in agreement that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and that you will wage war. You will wage war for their hearts. So thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing. We petition them before your throne. knowing that your good heart is at work. We pray this and we leave it in your care in Jesus' name. Amen. If somebody's heard the gospel tonight and they want to give their life to Jesus Christ, you're within the sound of my voice and the Holy Spirit is working on your heart. I invite you right now, come on up here, pray with us. Let us affirm you. Let us assure you that freedom and gospel is yours right now. So if there's anybody here in the sound of my voice that wants to receive the gospel afresh, you come here right on down and receive the truth of who the Father says you are. Yes, 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 yes. So I want my PVC family, pastoral staff to come on down. PVC family, anybody else, you can come on down, pray for somebody here, receiving the truth of who they are, receiving gospel, so that we might walk in liberty, we walk in confidence. Somebody be with my brother right there, please. Put a hand on somebody you love. Yes, my brother, come on down. Anybody in the overflow that wants to come in, if you're in the sound of my voice, listen, there's no reason not to come. I'm not going to belabor this, but don't you let pride or religion or theology hold you back from just making a declaration of saying, I am who he says I am. Don't you let none of that hold you back. Don't you let none of that nonsense hold you back from declaring that you are who he says you are right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, my brother. Yes. Yes. You are the beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Right? And it's ours. Why? Because we are his children. We are his children. Right? He loves us. We are his children. And in the innocence of childhood, we can receive that which he says we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Out of the mouth of babes. So one more time, don't you let religion, theology, whatever that we've gone till almost nine, don't you let none of that stand in the way. If you need to receive gospel freedom, come on up. Let us pray with you. Let us pray with you. Put a hand on somebody. Right there behind you. Put a hand on somebody in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Siona. In Jesus' name. Listen, this here thing is not, this is not method, it's relationship. It's standing as sons and daughters, confident, 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 created in the Lord to be the and seated in righteousness, planted by living waters, rooted firmly deep in the body that was broken so that you might stand whole. In Jesus' name, that's who and what you are. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. My man, God is CEO. Yeah? PVC, thank you. PVC, thank you. Yeah? Freedom, baby.
Absolutely.
Let's pray together, huh? Father God, right now in this place, we receive the goodness of who you say we are. We receive gospel in this place. With the pitter-patter of children's feet, we dance from the inside out, knowing that we are who you say we are, Father. Thank you so much for a spirit of repentance that would illuminate our minds to know that we are free in you, and that the lies that would have told us otherwise are nothing but that, lies. And that in Jesus Christ, the truth has been revealed, that at the cross, you revealed the truth of our worth, our value, who you say we are. And now we have the privilege of receiving that in fullness and living it out in a world that needs to receive it. And so we never let the circumstances of this world shake this unshakable kingdom that's been established within us because of love. And so, Father, I pray for each and every single person here that you might establish this thing, that you are establishing this thing, that you might give them a revelation of how great their inheritance is amongst the saints. So that this place here might be a city of lights, a city on a hill. Woo. That we here at PVC might shine with good gospel so that all those who are in need might find a home. All those who are in need might find a home, not because of theology, not because of fundamentals, not because of religion, but because of the love of a father displayed through a son on a cross. And through the power of a spirit that is named holy, that lives in us, and we have the privilege of living that holiness because of relationship, because of who we are. Not simply because what we've intellectually assented to, but because of who we are in you. Thank you so much for the truth of the gospel. We receive this in the only name that is worthy, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.